This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Yeah, hi, this is Mike Horn with Carol Lawrence, Food for Thought, hour number two, and it's brought to you by Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street in Manchester. Also, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry. Rocco and his crew helping Carol establish a healthier lifestyle, and it shows in her clothes and everything else. So she's doing well. Rocco joining us, of course, every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour. Also want to let you know tomorrow we'll be talking to somebody who I'm sure would never be going to Rocco. His name is Adam Richman. Adam Richman is the, he's actually done a lot of TV shows, but I think the one that I know him best for, and maybe you do too, on, I believe it's the Travel Channel. It's a show called Man vs. Food.
He's awesome. He really is. I love him.
He's got a new cookbook out, which is why he's available to talk to us tomorrow, so he can pitch that. But we'll hit him up with questions from his TV shows. The Man vs. Food show is basically he goes all over the country and accepts eating challenges to eat, 5 pounds of pizza in 3 minutes or, I mean, not quite that, but pretty ridiculous stuff that mere mortals would not do. And honest to God, it's painful to watch him.
It is.
And I don't know why I watch it, because I know that if he gets sick, they're not going to show it, and I don't want him to. And I'm not going to ask him about that tomorrow. But it's why would you do that? And now the pictures I've seen of him, he is not a big man.
No, he's not that big.
But when he was doing that show, I don't know if it's still in production. He was looking pretty, like he was taking those 10,000 calories and not ever working it off. I don't know.
True.
He's got an acting background, and he also is a food expert.
So it's not on anymore, Man vs. Food?
Well, I think it's on. I don't know if it's still in production.
Okay.
Meaning that there might be no new shows being shot, but we can investigate that.
Right.
And he's got a bunch of others. He's got a new show on NBC. Actually, it's a show that, and I saw this last year, and I didn't realize it was him, where you actually compete. As a professional chef, say, Mario Batali will cook the same recipe as Joe Blow, a home cook, and there's a panel of judges, and the judges decide whose is better, and they can win more money every time that they beat a chef, and sometimes they win it all and beat the chef in every round.
That's kind of cool.
It is a very cool show. So that one I know him from as well. So Adam Richman is our guest tomorrow, Carol.
It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. And, let's also remind listeners that Sunday is the Walk for Hunger benefiting New Horizons. It's one of their major fundraisers. You can register. If you haven't registered by now, that's okay. You can register the day of the event, 11 o'clock right at Veterans Park. All it is $10, and you get a T-shirt. And it also includes lunch, which I think is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can donate a little bit more. It is a fundraiser. And the walk promptly starts at noontime. So just
it's a 3-mile. It's a 3-mile walk.
Yeah.
I mean, at a moderate pace, under an hour.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. You got that one, Carol.
There you go. All right. And let's welcome on our next guest. It's our weekly segment, What's Cooking in Kansas, and her blog There and Back Again. You can check it out at lindaathompson.blogspot.com. Welcome back, Linda.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Mike. How are you guys doing?
Very well. And I must say, I'm so embarrassed, Linda, because I got a Facebook message, or maybe it was an email, a Facebook message with a picture. And now we've been doing this segment for, I have on the show now almost 2 months. And I actually did an event with Linda that she sent a picture from. It's about 5 years ago. It was the Chili Fest in Henniker.
Oh,
the
cool.
Rotary Chili Fest. She was a judge, and I just definitely remember it once I saw your picture and that you were there for, I think, just 1 year, actually, because the chair you were in was occupied by people that kept turning over, like Josh Judge, Rick Broussard,
right.
And Chef Nicole and I are the only two that have done it every year, and you were there 1 year, and it was so much fun. So thank you for making me feel like I'm really losing it, Linda.
Hey, don't worry. I totally forgot about it. Until I came across the picture and went, I knew him from somewhere.
I am pretty forgettable, so I understand it. Don't worry about it.
So, Mike, put...
I knew your name. I knew the name and everything from your radio stuff, but I'm like, I know I've met him. Where did I meet him? And then I came across the picture and went,
right?
We ate chili, all that chili.
And that was the day that the storm came right at the end of the event, right? We all ran for our cars as the downpour began.
Yeah, the timing was perfect. It was done, and we were out of there before as the clouds started rolling in. So But no, that was a fun day. I would have loved to keep doing it, but of course I moved out here and it's a little hard to get back to Henniker for Chili Fest every year.
Yeah, it's a beautiful location. It's a great event. They're retooling it this year. I'm probably actually going to have a booth for my New Hampshire food and promotion business. I'll also be judging again, so I have to clone myself so I can be in two places at once this year. It's coming up. As a matter of fact, you know what, Carol? We will be talking.
Yeah, we're talking
tomorrow
with her tomorrow.
With Ruth Zacks from the Henniker Rotary. Yep. Will give us a lot more detail. And basically, the purpose of tomorrow's interview is to have people think about entering this competition because it is, I mean, chilly. You start to get into the little cooler weather, although August isn't. But I start thinking about chili in August usually. And so we need to get the word out for home cooks or restaurants because Red Arrow has been in it the last couple of years. And hopefully once again this year, Carol.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. If you've got a chili recipe that everybody raves about, you definitely
enter. Oh, they do.
Or anybody, you know, home cooks, if your family's always asking you to make chili. I know why August everybody starts thinking chili because football season kicks back in. So, and you got to have chili for football season, right?
Definitely. Of course. That's like a given, I think.
But yeah, if you've got a chili recipe, you should enter. It's a lot of fun.
There you go. So what is on your agenda this week, Linda?
Well, I've been blogging about berries because they're actually starting to come in here in the farmer's market. Here, our farmer's market's opening in April here in Topeka. And, the berries are starting to show up, strawberries, and then blueberries are starting to show up. So I thought, well, you know, it's time to blog a little bit about some berries. So I put a recipe on for a chilled mint strawberry soup that was actually one I adapted from Canterbury Shaker Village up in Canterbury. And actually, Jeffrey Page, the owner of Cotton, the chef there, he's the one that developed the recipe that I then adapted from. So...
You put your own little twist on it, Linda.
Oh, yeah. You know, you always have to do those things.
I always do that.
I think I'm a bigger fan of cold soups than Carol is.
Yeah, I'm not.
For the most part. I love cold strawberry soup. Gazpacho is good.
That's the only one I like.
I mean, I've had cold peach soups and strawberry soups, and I was exposed to that. I did a lot of weddings at Bedford Village Inn. And they're a little bit higher up in terms of, you know, the more adventurous things that you can order there. And so I was exposed to cold fruit soups, and I love them.
Well, this particular soup, it's funny. I was at the village. It was in the middle of the summer. It was a hot day. And, you know, you're walking around, of course, you know, not a lot of air conditioning at the Shaker Village because all the buildings are so old and they don't have, you know, a lot of them don't have air conditioning. So my friend and I were walking around. It was sunny. It was hot. And so we went in and had this soup. It was back when they used to have the creamery, and they served food from the creamery there. And it was just so refreshing. And it was such a relief from the heat and the sun. And I wasn't a big fan of cold soups either until I had this. And once I had this, I was just, it was amazing. And what's nice about this, it's strawberries, it's yogurt, it's mint. And it's a little honey for sweetness. That's it. So it's it's sweet. You know, it's actually pretty good for you as well. So, you know, it's not too much sugar, and it's actually a very healthy soup to have for the summer. But it's the best heat buster, just about anything I've ever had. It's nice and it just cools you right off.
It's almost like maybe like a smoothie in a way, in your own version, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It is. I mean, it's a little thinner than a smoothie, but sure. I mean, and actually my taste testers, when I was making it last year, they were like, wow, this is like drinking a smoothie with mint in it. And I said, yeah, you're pretty close to it. So yes, if it makes you feel better, Carol, you could have it as a smoothie and you just never know.
I'm going to go into Cotton and I'm going to ask for my bowl and a cup.
And a straw.
And I'm going to slurp my.
Yeah, Jeff would love that.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh.
So what was the main berry in this recipe again, Linda?
It's a chilled strawberry mint soup.
Okay, so it's got probably a very nice muted pink or rose color to it?
Yes, it's kind of pink. And I like to put a little dollop of yogurt in the, you know, a little extra dollop of yogurt in the middle for a garnish. But it's very good. And what's nice is you can make up a batch and you can freeze part of it and just, you know, unthaw it out when you want some all summer long. So
I might have to try that, Linda.
You should try it. Yeah, like I said, think of it as a smoothie, Carol.
Yeah, it sounds healthy, too, and I'm eating healthy, so I might have to expand my horizon a little bit.
If we would have taken that recipe and told Carol it was a smoothie instead of a cold soup, she'd have been all over it, because we got to get her past that I don't like cold soup thing.
I know.
Right,
which is okay.
Cold soups are smoothies. I mean, you just have to think of them that way, because typically that's what they are.
So, okay, at Cotton, then, I'll get my bowl of cold soup, and I'll just ask for a straw.
Yeah, you shouldn't see what the waitress says.
I would never do that.
You can tell. Well, just tell Jeff that that's what Mike and I are recommending that you do. Right?
Yeah, I'm going to say Linda and Mike told me to do this.
Exactly.
Speaking of Chef Jeffrey Page, who is really one of the first farm-to-table proponents here in this area.
He's been doing it a while.
He has been since the 90s, really, before people even ever heard of
him. I remember when he started doing it. I was like, doing what?
But he was a visionary. He really has such wealth of experience. We need to get him on. But I know he's working the lunch, every day. I mean, he is a hands-on owner.
He is.
But, I mean, he had a chance to work with Julia Child, and I would love to have him come in sometime.
That would be so fun.
And tell that story. So
that's right. Yeah, because when he was at the Shaker Village, because he was the head chef at the Canterbury Shaker Village for a few years, and she came and filmed a segment of Good Morning America.
There. That's right.
And he cooked for her while she was there. Yeah, it's a great story. I'll have to get him to tell you sometime.
All right. Well, we need to get in touch with him. I'll put that on my to-do list, my bucket list.
Well, you're all farm to table this today. I mean, you're talking farmer's market. We got strawberries, which, if you can wait, if you can hang on and get the good ones from the farmer's market, that'll make this soup totally amazing. And that's what I like to do. But it was funny. You guys were talking about, the money people can spend at the market. I take $40-$60 because I do my grocery shopping at the farmer's market as much as I can. Because Topeka has a huge farmer's market every Saturday morning, and I can buy meat and eggs and bread, and plus all the gorgeous produce. And I try and buy as much as I can there, because I know I can ask where it's coming from.
Yeah, and you know what else is great about where you live? You're part of the country. I mean, you're in the breadbasket of America. It's all agriculture all the time. Not the case here. And Jane Lang, who we spoke with, president of New Hampshire Farmers Markets Association, alluded to the fact that there's just not as many selections or opportunities. And so sometimes it's a hit or miss proposition. But where you are, I mean, that's right in the middle of the country where all this is being produced. So those farmers markets must look like they're on steroids compared to ours.
Well, the one I go to takes up this massive parking lot every Saturday morning. And then there's four others during the week. There's smaller ones, but there's actually four others in the city during the week, and then the big one on Saturday morning. So, yeah, there are a lot of them around here. But, I used to go to the Concord one all the time. And Carol, you're right. It's a beautiful – I mean, just think of them. The Capitol's right there. The market's there. Walking around on a sunny Saturday morning, you get yourself a there's usually somebody selling coffee, so you get a cup of coffee, get some breakfast. You can just make a whole morning of it.
Well, actually, Linda, isn't it the one, well, he's usually like up in the front, he's selling coffee and those homemade stupid donuts.
Yum.
Oh,
stupid Carol?
Remember?
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, so Carol, you have to have somebody to go buy you a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
right. So you're not tempted by the donuts.
You know what? That is probably, I'm not too much of a sweet eater. I'm really, I like it. I'm not saying I don't like it, but I'd rather have a pile of French fries rather than, a cupcake or something. But
exactly.
A homemade donut, that is probably, if that walked into the studio right now, oh my gosh, that wouldn't be good.
That's killer. Tough because I have seen you exercise your willpower time after time when really decadent food has been brought in, and you will, 9 times out of 10, resist and make me take it home.
I do.
And Barb's not happy about that, just so you know.
Sorry. That's just don't bring any donut people in.
Oh.
No donut people.
I did reach out to somebody. I guess
a donut person?
Yeah, I won't say who it is now.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess I can probably retract the invitation.
Well, you shouldn't, because it's a, you know, like a possible guest, but
yeah.
Just have him bring coconut donuts, because I hate
donuts?
Coconut.
Oh. That's very funny. All right, so let me ask about raising strawberries here for a minute, since, it's easier to go to the farmer's market, and I've raised vegetables and fruits from time to time, and I always end up with the birds eating my damn strawberries. So what do you use, cheesecloth or netting? Well, they can poke through the netting. Do you have any secrets, Linda, on how to keep the vermin from getting your strawberries?
Not a one. No.
Oh, what good are you?
I have to say, I used to have the same problem. No, actually, from what people that I've known that are really successful at it, they do. You can get at garden centers special netting to put over your strawberry plants that are supposed to keep them away. And it's the same with blueberry bushes. So the blueberry bushes I had when I was in New Hampshire, I didn't really have a lot of trouble with the birds getting too many of them. So, my strawberry plant, I went round and round with strawberries too.
Now, you know, I have a question about strawberries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if one of you can answer this, but I was at Lowe's a couple nights ago, and, you know, they have a pretty good, you know, flower selection. I buy my flowers at all different places. I go all around and lots of local places. I don't buy, you know, a lot of them at Lowe's, but I'll get a few of them. Now, they had these beautiful strawberry, strawberry plants, and they were in like a decorative planter,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, isn't that something that you would plant? I wouldn't.
You would, yeah.
I mean, could you leave it in the planter?
Because they grow every year. Well, I suppose.
Well, they make actually special pots called strawberry pots.
Oh, there's your answer.
Yeah, and this one wasn't one of those. So I found it.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, I saw it from afar. I mean, I didn't have my glasses on because I'm supposed to wear glasses all the time because I can't see far. But when I went up close to it, because I liked the look of it from afar, and then when I went up to it, I'm like, oh, this is a strawberry plant. I can't, you know, because I like the decorative, you know, I like the planter. I like to buy, you know, some plants like that. And, I was wondering, I'm like, I wonder if I could just buy it like that. I wonder how that would go.
Well, I know that, like I said, the strawberry pots, it depends on the kind of strawberry plant that you put in them. Some strawberry plants send off runners that then make new plants. So they need to have somewhere to run to.
Right. And if they're in the plant, they
set down roots. And you can actually do that. Strawberry pots are these big, tall pots that have little pockets all along the side. And if you leave a pocket or two open, if the runner comes out, you can pop it over to where one of the openings is so it gets soil.
I love that.
And start another plant. But you know, those are better plants to put in the ground so they have plenty of room to go. But there are strawberry plants that don't send out those runners. That probably work better for being in a pot. But I would think if you can grow them in a strawberry pot, you could grow them in just about any kind of planter as long as the conditions are right.
Yeah, these plants, they looked beautiful too. And, you know, I think I'm going to go back and buy one. I'll fool around with it and see. You know?
Yeah, well, you'll have to report and see how it works.
I will do. I'm going to report weekly on my strawberry plant. I love my plants. You should see my yard, my porch, and my flowers. Flowers.
I miss that, living in this little downtown apartment with no outside space. I go out and look at flowers as much as I can, but I miss being able to grow. So I did buy at the farmer. I went to there's a midweek farmer's market that's just a couple of blocks away from me, and I went there yesterday and bought a parsley plant. Because you can grow those in the Italian parsley, because they grow well in the shade, and all of my windows face north, so I need
the
sunlight. So.
Could it get any worse? An apartment in Topeka facing north.
I've got good views. I'm a block from the state capitol, so you can imagine what that's like. But you know, it has its benefits. But yeah, for growing things, not so much.
All right. So what about finding a community garden where people, all contribute, do a little bit of weeding, a little bit of this, and go and get your share of produce? Have you ever considered that?
Well, you know, there may be a community garden around here, but I've never heard of it. So, because most people can garden.
Well, that's true, or have farms. So, there's not a demand like in Boston and the Fenway area and all over New England in the cities. There are community gardens.
That's true.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, there are apartments here, but, you know, there may be a, don't quote me, there may be one around. I've just never come across one. But, I love going to the farmer's market, though, so that's my fix as far as getting all that stuff. And when something's in season, like when, you know, strawberries are starting to come in now, blueberries will be in a week or two, and I'll buy masses of them so that I can, freeze them up and keep them for the rest of the year and use them in pancakes and muffins and pies and stuff. So,
you know, Linda, I have to ask you, you talk about, you cook a lot, you bake a lot, you're always talking about, making, because, you cook for just yourself now. And so you make bigger things and you break them down and then put them in the freezer. You must have a huge freezer.
No, and what happens is it gets so full, I'm like, okay, I can't do anything else until I use up what's in the freezer.
But what the question is? The question is, do you use it up or sometimes do you maybe throw it away?
Oh, no, I use it.
Okay.
When I see that I've had something for a while, they have the rule. You get all these rules about keeping things frozen for, 2 months, 3 months. I they'll be in there a year and I'll still use them. As long as when they unthaw, they seem all right, I'm good. I'm using them.
See,
I have blueberries from last summer still in there that I'm using. So.
See, in my freezer, when I don't recognize it, I throw it away.
Fuzz?
That's different. If you're not recognizing it, sometimes I've been known to freeze things. I'll freeze, like, when I cut up a chicken, and I'll freeze, like, the wing tips and the backbone and think, oh, I'll make chicken stock someday.
Right.
And then the next thing I know, it's been there a year, and it's like, oh, I'm never going to make this chicken stock.
That's fine. Hey, before we go, I got to ask, we were talking about Canterbury Village, Shaker Village here a moment ago, and I have to ask Chef Patrick this. What is in the grape Kool-Aid or the grape, the signature drink that they put as a pitcher on your table? You know what I'm talking about, Linda?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You can get that recipe. It's in a couple of the cookbooks that come from there. I actually have that recipe in a cookbook here. So, and it's, I can't remember what's in it, though.
But it always reminds me of grape or just some kind of Kool-Aid. I mean, I know it's not, but...
you know what? Why don't you report next week?
Yeah, just give us a follow-up on that.
I will. I was a tour guide there for a couple of summers before I moved back out here. I love that place. It's
so
beautiful.
It's
the most amazing, peaceful, wonderful place. It's one of my favorite places in the planet, is that village.
And the culture of the Shakers is something that you just go, they did what? They invented laundromats? And gave the copyright away so anybody could use it. I mean, they are such amazing people, and I don't know that there are any left. The last magazine story I did.
The last I heard, there were four still. When I used to give the tours, and so that's like 5 years ago.
Yep.
There were four still left that live in a village up in Maine.
Yeah, is it Sabbath Day or something like that is the name of the community, I think, in Maine. But there was also at the time that about the same time that I was doing this research, there was a 19-year-old woman who was going to give it a try and see if she liked it. And I would love to know if she is still in the community or if she, she may be the only one alive because the other ones were well over 80.
Right. It's sad to think of them all dying off. Of course, when you've got a celibate community, that's kind of going to happen. It's kind of sad, but I love that the Canterbury Village was set up by the sisters that were still alive when they were alive. And it's done in the way that they wanted it done. So at least you're seeing it the way that they wanted you to see it.
Yeah, and a good tour guide, and I'm sure you were, really can make the stories come alive when you walk through the different parts of the village and the community. It's well worth visiting if you've never gone to Shaker Village.
Oh, I had a great time doing those tours. We would have a lot of fun. But yes, and then just for a place to go to, if you want a nice, quiet, beautiful setting, go there.
It's 20 minutes out of Concord. I mean, it's so close.
I know, exactly.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much, are we ready to dismiss Linda?
I think so. But I want you to report next week. I want to know more about this grape drink at Shaker Village.
Not the whole segment,
I love
just,
that grape drink. Yeah. And it's like an all-natural kind of drink. So, I will
sure
find that recipe. Hey, maybe I'll put it on the blog and we'll share it with everybody.
There you go.
Good thinking.
And when you're out and about this week, and if you happen to go to a farmer's market, snap a picture of you and send it to me so we can put it on Food for Thought NH.
Oh, you bet I will.
All right.
Yeah, take a selfie with an eggplant or something.
There you go.
All right, Linda, thank you.
Eggplants aren't in season, by the way. Okay, you're welcome.
Take it with some nice strawberries. There you go.
There you go. Perfect.
That's right.
Well, have a great week. Thanks.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Linda.
See ya.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, and we're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought. for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 1:35. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin hosting Food for Thought every weekday from the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. We are decorated by a beautiful piano out in the lobby just outside of our studio on this beautiful oriental rug. It really is one of the finest places I've ever done radio in my many, many years. And we're brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry, also Fallon's Furniture, official decorator of our green room, and New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. Well, we have a few moments left before we say goodbye to talk amongst ourselves. And there's never any shortage of food in the news, and we don't always get to cover it all because we, you know, we like to have lots of guests on to share their stories and their information. But I heard the little promo just a moment ago about broadcaster of the year, Peter St. James from the Pulse Wake Up Show. And I heard in a recent newscast just a half hour ago that Bob was reading they have banned chocolate bear bait.
I was listening to that this morning.
Now I'm wondering why they would do that. You know, because first of all, we have a huge number of people that produce chocolate, and if the bears are eating New Hampshire made chocolate, what's the problem? You know, they're keeping it in the state. From farm to bear.
Oh, my gosh.
Really? I mean, you got Lindt chocolate, you got Van Oda's chocolate, and the
Grand State candy. Grand State,
yeah, the list goes on. So I'm just a little curious about banning chocolate bear bait. Maybe somebody can explain that to me if you'd like. You can always give us a call at 866-823-1077. I mean, is there something that gives you an unfair advantage? Is it like shooting fish in a barrel? I don't understand. Now, I'm not a hunter, so maybe there's something I don't get here.
You know what? They were saying that it wasn't good for the bear. That's
okay. Neither is my hand when they take it off. Well, actually, it probably is good for them. More nutrition in it.
Yeah,
not
like
good for me, though.
Better.
Yeah, I've only got two. I'm going to try to hold on to them the rest of my life. All right, one more interesting item before we go to you.
Uh-oh.
Have you heard of, do you ever shop at Trader Joe's?
Yes.
I mean, is there only the one in Nashua? Is there any others?
That's the closest one that I know.
Okay.
I haven't been there for a while, but mm-hmm. I like Trader Joe's. I really like Trader Joe's.
Well,
how about you?
I've only been there a couple times, and it's never been that close to my home. And before we get back to my story about Trader Joe's, I think somebody's going to help us with chocolate bear baiting.
I think so.
We have
Joe from Sutton.
Joe, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Thanks for checking in today.
The problem was that a couple of bears were killed due to chocolate toxicity.
Oh, okay.
And like pure baker's chocolate is really toxic to bears, and so that's why they're doing it. That's why they're putting the ban on it.
Okay.
If they go to like Granite State Candy and buy them like a box of fudge, that's better than buying them.
Baker's chocolate.
My understanding is the, you know, milk chocolate has the least amount of actual pure chocolate in it. And so that's not as bad as some of like the baker's chocolate and some of the darker stuff.
Yeah, I guess it's not very humane.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want to see any animal suffer. And of course, with our dogs, and that's one of the big no-nos, you know, like with raisins and poinsettias and other things. So
raisins too?
Oh yeah, raisins are
for dogs.
Yeah, not good for your dogs.
I never knew that.
Take Molly off the raisin diet. I mean, if she's doing okay, have you been giving her raisins?
I don't like raisins.
Yeah.
Raisins are not in my house, but I didn't know that.
Go through the list just to make you feel a little bit better about yourself. We don't give our dog much table food anyway.
No, me neither. Never.
A treat once in a while. If I'm cutting up a chicken, I'll give her a couple pieces, but nothing from the table. All right, my friend. It's Joe, was it?
Yes.
Joe, thank you very much for enlightening me.
I learned that from listening to the morning show.
There you go.
Peter. Well, I figured, you know, you're from Sutton, so I'm like, he must listen to Peter.
Peter
every morning.
He's the quintessential outdoorsman.
Every morning I listen to him, and every afternoon I listen to you guys. So.
Oh, well,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, feel free to contribute anytime. The lines are always open.
Yeah, and you know what, Joe? Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Where do you like to eat up there? Like, where's? Because I used to live in Warner, so I used to be pretty close to you.
Well, 1 mile west is great.
Yes, like 1 mile west.
Millstone in New London's really good, and probably my favorite place is the Flying Goose.
Yep,
I've been to that one. Isn't that near New London?
Yep.
Right at the Ford.
Yeah.
For stock.
Nice view.
And for a breakfast, the Junction, Blackwater Junction in Andover is an excellent breakfast place.
Okay. Very good.
And are you a cook, Joe?
I am, yep.
You are? Oh.
Well, I used to have a place. I closed it down, and now I just do it for fun.
Well, good for you. That's smart.
Well, hope you didn't lose too much money on the deal.
Well.
No, I ended up on the plus side.
So. Oh, good.
Good.
Fabulous.
Well, good. Then you're very smart.
Yes. Well, you're a good caller, and we hope that you'll call in again sometime, Joe.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye.
All right. So we have the answer to that. All right. Maple water is now available at Trader Joe's.
So, okay, wait a minute. Maple water?
Yes. If you're tired of regular water, coconut water, sparkling water, and aloe water, there's a slightly sweeter option for you. Trader Joe's maple water is made from tree sap. Usually when reduced with heat, tree sap turns into maple syrup, which, of course, most of us use to drench on our pancakes and waffles. However, if left unreduced, the sap is about 98% water. I mean, as it comes out of the tree, I think it's like 98% water. So pretty much it'll taste like maple-flavored water. Somebody figured out, you know, they're throwing all this stuff away and then boiling it down. Why don't we just take it as it comes out? Probably lower production costs than you know, taking it to a sugaring house. So heat it just enough to pasteurize but not remove all nutrients. The water is a definite option for those looking to change their hydration game up some. Trader Joe's maple water will be available in a 32-ounce container. Really? 32-ounce container.
What are the calories?
They don't have that listed. I got this off of a website called Food Beast, which is one of my favorite places to go for stories like this. The 32-ounce container of maple water at Trader Joe's sells for $2.99, which is not that bad when you think about it, if you
ounces.
Like it. So I may have to pick some up sometime because I love maple.
I love maple.
Mm-hmm.
My first thing is how many calories is in
sure,
it? And what are the,
sure.
You know, what
well,
what's in it?
That's what Google is for, Carol. Mm. We could probably find that out in the next break because you always like to try new and cutting edge things.
Well, I'd be very interested if it was really low in calories, mm-hmm. You know, something different than, you know, my water I'm drinking.
Yeah, you're drinking something that, it looks like orange soda,
well,
but
this,
I know it's...
Well, this just gets...
It's some powder you put in there,
servings
right?
Of, servings of fruits and vegetables.
Okay, oh, very good.
It is. Gives me a little boost of energy in
so
the afternoon.
So do you have anything off the wires related to food?
I do have a couple things related to food, but you know what I wanted to do before we go to the next break? To just get listeners, you know, thinking about, does anybody out there have a Fitbit? And how you like your Fitbit.
Oh.
And, you know, right, and Fitbit right now, you're starting to see commercials on TV.
And, or variations of it. There's also Jawbone.
There is. There's all
right.
Those other ones. But even the Fitbit, you're seeing commercials on TV
yes.
And stuff like
yes.
That. And, you know, I went on and there's a, you know, ways to challenge yourself. And you
mm-hmm.
Can, you know, challenge with other people, other friends that, you know, have Fitbits and stuff, which we do. I do that all throughout the week, like the Work Week Hustle and the Weekend Warrior Challenge.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. All
wow.
These.
Wow. Where do you find time for this stuff?
Well, no, you just say, yes, I want to play.
Oh, okay.
And you
all
just
right.
Track your steps. And then it tells you, like, it'll, you know, it'll tell you throughout the day, oh,
mm-hmm.
Amy is coming up on you. You better, you know, get stepping. And,
really?
Oh, you just lost your first plate. Well, I've never been in first place yet, but.
You're getting there,
you know,
though, right?
I'm getting there. I
yeah.
Am. I'm getting there.
Uh-huh.
And, well, my mother just got a Fitbit.
Oh, you're beating the heck out of her, right? She's in 14th place.
She just started yeah. Yesterday. So, and she's very, as a matter of fact, I talked to her earlier
mm-hmm.
And she was kind of out of breath. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, well, I just went for a walk because I have to beat you in your steps today.
Oh,
she's
my.
Like, I'm like, Mom, be careful. I mean, she's 75
is
years
she
old.
Is she that competitive?
She is that competitive.
Are you competitive?
Really.
Yeah, I don't sense that
really
about
not.
You. I don't
I
sense
mean,
that about you.
You know, this Fitbit thing for me, you know, with my healthy and trying to get my steps in and
right.
Being active, I'm trying, you know, for myself. But as far
yeah.
As, you know, beating my mother or beating
yeah.
Amy or Andrea or Brian or, you know, I mean, it, you know, it's fun to do. It's, you know,
okay.
Like last night, Amy and I were like right on the tail. We were like within like
really?
20 steps. So I'm standing there and I'm going, you know, up and down. Just to get past
she's
her.
Actually jogging in the studio. So so who has a Fitbit out there, and what do you like most about it?
Exactly. 866-823-1077. I'd like to hear from you. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening
okay.
To Food for Thought, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Live at the Beacon Building, you're listening to WTPL-FM, WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. You can stream it live on WTPLFM.com. And we're trying to see if anybody really liked their Fitbit. You can still try and give us a call, 866-823-1077. And just one thing I want to say about it. You know, they're always finding new ways to, you know, they kind of just revamped their website. And so there was this little quiz that you could go on. It was Find a New Fit is what it was called. Mm. And you go through a little quiz, and it had all these little these questions. And then it came out at the end with an activity that, you know, should be something that, you know, you should try or you would like, something to challenge yourself with. And I was kind of surprised at my outcome. Mine was biking, outdoor biking, which I don't know. It's kind of been something I've maybe wanted to try a little bit.
Oh, I would definitely get on that. Biking, yeah. You and Daryl, would, there's so many great places to see
there
in New Hampshire. That might be something that would make you look a little bit more forward to exercising when at times perhaps you don't.
It is true. And, you know, it's not so, you know, hard on like your mm-hmm. you know, your legs and your knees and,
right.
you know, stuff like that. So
just take it easy from
yeah,
the start. I just got a text.
You
maybe
but
heard the little ding come in from Barbara, also known as Lady Baba. She says she has a jawbone up 24. So far today, she's done 7,000 steps.
And good for her.
Yeah, well, as I said, we took that walk this morning with the dog in at the park near our house. And so she built up the bank for that and, you know, still has the second half of the day to get. I think
yeah.
the goal is usually around 10,000 steps.
Does she average about 10,000?
I don't know what she averages. I think that's what she sets for a goal.
Right, that's
some
what I do, too.
She exceeds that, but other days not. All right, now, we all have had kids in college or at least that age, teens especially. Ramen noodles. Did you ever have those packets of the ramen noodles in your house with the foil package open up? Yeah, who hasn't, right?
Of course.
Like what,
I think
a dime a bag or something?
Every college student lives on them.
Well, guess what? In Japan, a southeastern town in Japan, Hakone, has a spa that lets patrons bathe in ramen, according to Time magazine. The trend has been dated back to 2007. However, it seems to be bringing to reach a hype status more recently. Now quite a few places in Japan offer this unique service. So what on earth could convince somebody to pay money to sit in a hot ramen broth and stew with other people?
That is ridiculous.
Five reasons.
Oh, okay. Okay. Five reasons to sit and stew in ramen noodles.
Right. Ramen noodles. Number one, relaxing. As with most spas, folks pay to come and relax. The hustle and bustle of the working person means that they only have time for a quick shower before heading out to a 9-to-5. This means there's hardly any time for them to sit and relax themselves with a bath. Ramen bath resolves the issue. Two, meeting new people. If you're open-minded enough to try sitting in a giant bowl of ramen, especially with a group of strangers sharing the same bath, you probably enjoy new things.
Ugh.
Why not take the opportunity to meet some like-minded people that are bold enough to try the same thing as you? You might leave that ramen bath with some new friends. Improves your skin. Carol, listen.
Oh, my gosh.
Surely you jest. This bath uses a pork-based broth that is packed with collagen. Believed to improve. Think of how much money people pay for collagen injections. Believed to improve the skin of patrons. Collagen is a known protein to enhance the skin by protecting it from preventing the absorption of toxic substances. This allows skin cells to rejuvenate and stay healthier. The experience is complete with synthetic needles used to get the collagen in every nook and cranny of your body.
Oh, my gosh.
So far, I don't have you convinced, huh?
No. I'm just picturing this huge tub filled with ramen noodles and
Chew Hampshire Facebook page. I've got a picture of it right there.
Oh,
posted it
gosh.
This morning. Metabolism, number four, why you should take a ramen bath. Let's face it, after a certain age, most metabolisms just crap out. Unless you're a super exercise fanatic like you and Barbara are today, chances are your metabolism could use a boost. The ramen baths are said to provide that boost in metabolism. And reason number five, to swim in ramen, not many people can say they took a bath in a bowl of ramen. If anything, why not just do it and say you did it? If it eventually becomes a trending practice, you were one of the first to try it out. It's all happening in Hakone, Japan.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to Japan anytime
soon. I'm just trying to expose you to some new things, Carol. That's all.
Would you go in a ramen bath?
I would. Yes, I would.
You really would?
Yeah. Call it ramen, though, please.
I know. Well, ramen, I know. We always called them ramen noodles.
Did you really?
We did. We called them ramen noodles. I don't know.
You know what? I think I would. I mean, I don't eat ramen noodles or ramen noodles.
You never ate them?
Well, I have, but I use them sometimes in cooking. I have a Chinese food dish that I do that requires ramen noodles. And so, yeah, but typically I don't.
Now, when you say a recipe that required the ramen noodles,
yes,
just the noodles, not the packet.
You use some of the packet, not all of it.
Because where can you get those noodles? You know when I did my noodle bowl soup?
You mean the noodles without the packets of flavoring?
You can't find those noodles anywhere.
You just throw the packet out. It doesn't have that much cost to it.
I get, they're so inexpensive
anyway. I'm sure you can get them without. I'm sure if you probably go to a store that deals with exotic foods or foreign foods, I bet you can find some.
I just figured, when you go to Market Basket now, there's so many millions of different kinds
of kidding,
pasta.
No kidding, huh?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't find noodles like that. So
really?
Yeah, I couldn't.
Huh.
And that's kind of what I was looking for to put into my noodle bowls, you know?
There's ramen noodle art. I mean, ramen noodles is a whole culture in and of itself.
It is.
Uh-huh.
They have ramen noodle cookbooks.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, I got to go home and take an oatmeal bath because I just feel so dirty after the
ramen.
You go
do that.
Yeah.
You go and you report tomorrow at how that was. And tell me if you met any new friends and let me know. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. Up next is Kale and Company. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.